In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. At the end of this, of the praying of this passage, I got very emotional because, and some people may say it's because I'm having trouble with my eyes. It has nothing whatsoever to do with that. Nothing. This is something, when I was very young in the church, in the first year, I asked if I might see something spiritual. And I made the energetic boast of people that are new. I'm willing to give up my eyesight if I could just see something spiritual. And by that I meant something magnificently spiritual. I'm talking about an apparition. Whether it was of darkness or of light, but just to confirm the thing that I was spending now, what I determined would be the rest of my life doing. This is 40 years ago. I'm speaking about this time. But can you imagine, and I'm going to get into this more deeply later, a man who is born blind and his eyes are opened, what do you think he does? He smiles. He smiles with the widest smile anybody has ever seen. And he does not move. He is transfixed. He can look at his own hands for the first time, and his arms, and the clothing that he is wearing, and his feet. He knows what his feet look like. He looks about him. He sees the room that he's in. He sees the people. And he recognizes some voices are familiar, and for the first time he can put a face to the voice. We see in the scripture today a very compressed event in terms of time. Think about this. It's very compressed. The Lord sees a man who is a beggar. Now mark this. The man did not call out to the Lord. Jesus went to him. It's written, as we just prayed, that the Pharisees didn't know who this man even was. They first had to call his parents to confirm it. Wasn't it their job to know? Wasn't it someone's job to know who this man was? This man who was making his living by begging? But Jesus, our Lord, his tender heart and his compassion, he goes to this man. And the man can't see, but he hears the voice. Can you imagine hearing the voice of God? I wouldn't need to hear anything else after that. Would you? If I could but see the face of God as he was incarnate, would I need to see anything else ever again? Now I'll tell you a story, because we just read about the, from the Synaxar, about the apparition in Zaytun. Abunaluwa, my father, went to Zaytun. He didn't see anything. He saw a couple of pigeons. And, you know, God, I'm so sorry, the ignorance of our church in some matters. Pigeons fly at night. There are carrier pigeons. Google it, all of you young people, and especially you old people. If anyone here thinks a bird doesn't fly at night, that when it gets dark, he falls out of the sky and dies, don't think that. But the point that is to be made is that he didn't see anything. He went to see Pope Baba Kirillos, and he asked him Sayyidina, did you go to Zaytun? And Sayyidina looked at him and said, don't you pray the liturgy? That was it. Don't you pray the liturgy? Who do you think the patriarch was looking at when he prayed the liturgy? There is a story that was told me by Anbamina, who was his Shamas Makaras. And then later on, the head of the monastery of Maryamina. The Pope Shanu, I keep saying Pope Shanu, Pope Shanu is really my Pope. Sorry for the new guy. So it's hard for me. But Baba Carillos, he went to the throne of Saint Mark and he stopped and he incensed for a period of 5 minutes. And everybody knew that he was seeing something. And then, of course, the extrapolation was he was looking at Saint Mark himself, seated on his own throne and offering him incense. Because to whom does a patriarch offer incense? So this man heard the voice of God and he felt his eyes having a poultice or something put over his eyes, a salve or something. He didn't know exactly what it was, but clay has a particular smell, so he said it was clay. He didn't know anything more than that. And then the Lord told him, go to the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. Who was sent to us except the Lord Jesus Christ? Go to the pool and wash, the pool of the washing of regeneration, of restoration, of repentance. Go wash your eyes. He did, and when he stood, he didn't move. He, as I described, he just looked around. In the 60s, there were people that did a lot of psychedelic drugs. I said psychedelic, should I have said psychedelic? The people were psycho, but you get the drift. A person who took a sufficient amount of LSD, you would find them sitting for hours in the same place, transfixed, because chemically their brain was being rearranged by this drug, the LSD, and they were seeing things in a brand new way. So you would see people that would look at a flower, at just a flower, and look at this flower for a long, long time, or pick up a blade of grass. What a sterile environment. We pass by these things all the time. We don't look at all. But because they were looking in this chemically induced state, in a new way, they did not move. Such it was with the blind man, who now could see. Think about that. The Lord said, while it is day, I must do the works of him who sent me. You know, no one could gainsay this miracle. Everybody had to acknowledge that it had taken place. They did all kinds of inquiries, but it took time. The Pharisees aren't like a flock of birds who hover in one spot and then move around together. They're going about their various duties. Try to get 10 priests together in a moment's notice. Make some phone calls, see how well you do. That was like the Pharisees, but there was something else that was going on, and this was attacking them in their city. So they accused him not of making a miracle on the Sabbath. That was okay, because Jesus had already asked him, which one of you, if your animal fell into a pit on the Sabbath, you wouldn't pull him out? So they've been over that. So they were very careful with their wording. They said, he doesn't keep the Sabbath. He doesn't keep it. Now I ask you, was there a precedent for breaking the Sabbath before in the Old Testament for one that they had admired? And yes, of course there was. Joshua leading the children around Jericho, and he did it for 7 days, one of which had to be a Sunday or a Saturday. One of them had to be a Sabbath. So they didn't keep the Sabbath in this time, and nobody talks about it. As a matter of fact, there are some people that ask the question, did Abraham keep kosher? These are questions that populate their mind, not ours. But they looked and they tried to make something out of nothing, as they often did, when in fact the miracle that was being performed was not simply the opening of this man's eyes. People focus on that. It's not the opening of his eyes. It's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, who is taking earth from the ground and forming man anew. Because to make an eye, which is the most complicated structure in our bodies, with a little bit of his saliva so that if he had used water, they might say, well, the water had miraculous properties. No, it's Jesus Christ imitating the work of creation. It's Jesus Christ saying, do you want to know if I am God? Do you really want to know if I am God? What did God do to make man except to reach into the dust of the ground and to form a creature? Think about that. Or it was a tremendous thing. This is why when the Lord met the man who had been cast out of the synagogue, and by the way, this is why the parents of the child were so cowardly. Even though this great thing had happened through the agency of this young rabbi, who they didn't know very well, they were more worried about what the people of their own age thought. Do you know, one of my avocations is, I love to learn about the history of World War II and especially about Hitler. And I've always wondered how people like the Germans that can, you know, make Porsches and Mercedes-Benz and BMWs and all this, how they can follow someone, how there is this herd instinct that will cause you to take your own personality and set it aside for the sake of being a follower, of willingly handing shears so that you can be shorn as a sheep. Do with me what you will. You want me to put on this uniform? I'll put this uniform on. You want me to stand in a parade for hours? I'll do this. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's why I told you repeatedly, you didn't see me wear a mask during the COVID period. You didn't see that, did you? Except when the boss was around. And it's never good to upset your boss. I'll give you. But my point is, and I don't want to belabor it too much, the parents, you would think the parents love their own child, wouldn't you? But they said, we'll give him up. Let him bear the brunt of the wrath of the Pharisees. Let him be the one who vaunts the name of this young rabbi, because he's going to be kicked out of the synagogue. And sure enough, they did kick him out. And then Jesus went looking for him. Now, I'm not going to go into the interrogation that the Pharisees used, because Father Arsenius did this the last time he spoke on this matter. But I want to point out that we don't have stage directions when we read a narrative about what's taking place. What kind of voice do you think that the man who had been born blind used with the Pharisees? First of all, I'm telling you, the smile never left his face. You know, you can see. And he's looking at them incredulously, but he's got a smile. He can see now for the first time what an angry face looks like. These people were angry. They were really upset. He'd never seen that before. And it was probably, if not amusing to him, at least on one level, for this man who had never seen these things before, he thought, anger indeed twists more than just the heart. It ruins the face. It ruins the face of the people who are angry. And so as the interrogation is taking place, he says, look, I get it. He's a threat to you. But by asking me more and more, it's not going to change anything. I see everything. And before I did not. See, we're talking about the difference because, look, physical acuity is nothing. I've already talked to Father Arsenius. There's this man that I listen to on television. He is a Roman Catholic priest. He's the head of a university, and he's blind. His name is Father Spitzer, a German guy, and he has a PhD, and when he became a young adult, he started to lose his sight. And so now he keeps up to date by having people read books, these things that he needs for his continued work in the church are recorded, and he can listen to them at his leisure. And he hears these things, and he functions, and he's on television. And he wears dark glasses, but with the light of the TV, you can see how his eyes are roving, as people that do not have the ability to fix their eyes on one particular thing, their eyes kind of move in any fashion they wish. So I'm not afraid of losing my eyesight, but I am very much afraid of it going from the physical to the spiritual. Because if I lose my spiritual eyesight, then I am as blind as the Pharisees. Then I am enveloped in darkness. And no one can go to repentance in darkness. You have to come out into the light. And it's funny because when I leave the church, when we've concluded our services and I go outside, it's going to hurt my eyes because there's a lot of light outside. And this is what somebody who comes from darkness, it parallels the physical problem that I have perfectly. The spiritual problem is when you're brought from darkness into light, you can barely see. But if you stay in the light, slowly your eyes become adjusted. And then you see more and more and more and more. And compared to what was available to you while you were in darkness is nothing. So, you know, the man was approached by the Lord, and for the first time, since he had washed in the pool of Siloam, he could place a face with the voice of salvation. He heard the voice of his Savior again, but now he saw his face. That's what made me weep. to be able to look upon the face of your beloved for the first time, to see his face. When my daughter was born, I saw her face. My hand to God, my wife will tell you this, I thought she was Chinese. But I loved her. I loved her. I don't know why I loved her. There is no reason for me to have loved her. She didn't look good. Her face was bruised and red coming through the birth canal. She was screaming. I loved her. And looking at that little face, you know, and I've seen this more and more. When for the first time, can you imagine seeing the Savior? Can you imagine seeing the one to whom you have prayed so many hours and days and weeks and months and for your whole life, really, longingly? We have images, spiritual images, but to actually see his face. You know, it's written that when Moses received the Ten Commandments, the voice of God would have been so terrifying that the Jews postulate that the voice of God toward Moses was the voice of his father. A voice of comfort, a voice of caring, a voice of power, a voice of sternness when it had to be, but a voice of, you belong to me, you and me. We are father and son in the way in which that would be said to a creature. But it was a voice, because you can imagine, and I think later on, Paul, when he is struck blind and he hears a voice, people around him just hear rumbling, but he hears a voice. And the first thing he says is, Lord. That's not some squeaky high voice that he heard. Coming here today, I was listening to the Roman Catholics. For them, it is Palm Sunday, and they had a kind of a play that was going on, and unfortunately, there was a bishop, a priest, and a deacon that were doing this, and the priest has a very funny little voice, and they gave him the line, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And he's got this high voice. And it's unbelievable. I know you're thinking about why would they do that on Palm Sunday. It's from Matthew. They read the whole Gospel of Matthew in there. They'll do it again for you, I'm sure. I'll tell them you want to hear it, and they'll do it up on them. But yeah, it was just, this voice didn't match. I remember another time when there was going to be a narration of an American movie, and there was this big macho guy on the screen. I don't know who it was, but somebody that, you know, is a really tough and rugged guy. And the Japanese voice came on. It was this little high-pitched Japanese voice. And the people who were going to dub this said, this can't be. And he said, no, you don't understand. In Japan, this guy is like John Wayne. So I guess it's where you were raised and who raised you as to what kind of voice you expect God to have. But I do know this, that in the kindness that the Lord comes to him again saying, I want to console you. Because when he was asked before who he was that had made this miracle occur, he said, well, you must be a prophet. So to give him the fullness and the complete vision and the security of knowing that what he saw was true and real, he said, I who stand before you am the living Son of God, as he did with Fotini, the Samaritan woman at the well. Be certain. And Fotini, of course, is called one of the very first evangelists. Come and see a man who told me all that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? So I guess I've said just about everything that I wish to say. Blindness is not a problem if it is physical. Blindness is a problem if it is spiritual. And if it is willingly spiritual, then there is no hope for salvation. There is just the unquenchable fire. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.